Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You decide.
2020.
Now that we're past Labor Day, we got two things to monitor. The elections here in Virginia, which are rapidly coming up in November. This is big. The control of the legislature in both houses up for grabs. And then, of course, we can't lose sight of the presidential race, which is still over a year away. Norman Leahy is the Virginia columnist for The Washington Post, and he is juggling both of those issues as we move forward here. Beto was in Virginia last week. What happened, Norman? Why did he go to a pretty solid red area of the Commonwealth?
Good morning, John. It is odd, and I think even the Democrats down in Bland County, down in Southwest Virginia, said they could never recall seeing a Democratic presidential candidate there ever in their lifetime.
Really?
Ever. So, you know, it's
that gets you headlines.
Thing. Yeah, it does. It certainly did. And I think that might be part of it. Beto O'Rourke, who, interestingly enough, went to Woodbury Forest. So he does have that connection. Went to Bland County. He made a stop in Charlottesville. He went, then made another stop in Northern Virginia. His thing was to make he made a swing up I-81. Mm-hmm. But what he's doing is, Virginia is a Super Tuesday state, that Super Tuesday being March 3rd, 2020. There are roughly 100 delegates up for grabs. He's making a play for them. He's also giving a thorough road test to his new campaign pitch, which is very much a gun control, if not outright gun seizure agenda, coupled with a very much running on an anti-white supremacist platform. I had yet to meet the candidate who's running on the pro-white supremacist platform,
right. But
there you have it. I'm sure, who knows, maybe that exists, but he's testing that stuff out, and I think he's doing something that's shrewd and that really does benefit local Democrats in particular. He's showing up and campaigning for legislative candidates. That is probably the biggest benefit that the local Virginia political class is going to get out of it. Whether Mr. O'Rourke gains anything out of it is an entirely another matter, because the big new thinking in Democratic circles is there's really only three, maybe four people out of the field that are viable. O'Rourke is not one of them. It's Joe Biden, who was actually in town not a few days ago for a fundraiser. Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and then maybe Kamala Harris, who I thought was quite cheeky, rolled out some of local endorsements of her own while Beto was traipsing through the western part of the state.
Yeah, so I agree with you. I don't think that Beto is viable nationally, but he continues to hold on because he could self-fund if he wanted to, and you know he can cut the checks that he needs to just keep himself alive. But that's the message about guns is an odd one to take into a very red part of Virginia. That's probably one of the most divisive issues and a pretty solid issue for people who live in the rural areas. I mean, take that up to Northern Virginia. They probably love it. Some parts of Richmond, they might love it. But
And I agree with you. It's an odd choice. But like you did say, it got him the headline because nobody else was there. And when you're a campaign that's looking for that breakthrough moment, like, 16 of them are right now, any little thing that he does, any little place that he goes to that might generate that spark that sets the whole campaign aflame and brings him into that top tier.
Yeah.
I can think of better uses for campaign resources, but hey, if he wants to come, if he wants to campaign for local candidates, I'm sure they will take every presidential candidate they can to a campaign on their behalf.
Now, Terry McAuliffe, is he out campaigning locally with individual candidates, trying to raise money for them, especially and garner their support for whatever his plans are going forward?
I suspect now that we are officially in campaign season, though it seems like we've been in campaign season since the world was young. I'm sure that he's going to be a much bigger and more prominent face on the campaign trail. Of course, he's also had stubbed his toe with his book tour.
That was a mess for him. It wasn't what he was hoping for at all.
It wasn't what he was hoping for. And remember, I think one of the times we spoke, John, he was talking about bringing his book tour to Charlottesville, which was heretofore not on the list, even though it was all about what happened in Charlottesville. So that he made a lot of noises about coming there and having a really big event for it. I have yet to see any of that materialize. I would not be shocked to see Terry McAuliffe out there, however, between now and November 5th, really beating the bushes for candidates.
Yeah. Do you think this white supremacy talk benefits Democrats in Virginia? I mean, it's a huge turnoff to me, but they probably had no chance of ever winning me over to their side. But does the undecided voter find this conversation about the burgeoning white supremacy in the United States, especially here in Virginia, in light of what happened in Charlottesville, is that appealing to them?
It's appealing in a way that it helps motivate the base. And in an off year election like we have this November, motivating the base is extraordinarily important because turnout is usually so very low, especially even compared to gubernatorial elections, midterm congressional elections, and certainly compared to a presidential election. This one is all about your friends and neighbors and their allies getting out to the polls. So hot button issues like that might be the ones that not only keep your most determined voters ready to stand in line and vote, but they might be able to motivate a few more undecided folks. You're not the target audience, John.
No, there's no question. And I mean, and to me, it's a hard turnoff, but, you know, I always have to check myself and realize that I'm not malleable the way some people are on things like that.
But that's what they're hoping, is that there are some people out there who are malleable enough, who can be motivated by an issue to get off the couch and show up in a November that otherwise they would probably sit out because they don't think it matters that much. And it really matters tremendously.
Can you give me the 30 seconds on this lawsuit that surrounds Delegate Dawn Adams? What's the latest on that?
First of all, you can't make this stuff up. Because in a response in the lawsuit there that was filed last month by a former Adams campaign worker, Adams' attorneys wants all the charges dismissed, but said even if Dawn Adams did access this woman's Facebook account and Gmail account, that's not illegal. And even if Dawn Adams tried to access this woman's Wells Fargo personal bank account, that's not a crime.
Is it not? I mean, what does the law say? Can you access someone else's account as long as you don't steal their money? Is that?
I think that's rather extraordinarily bold for an attorney to say that if I tried to access your bank account, I would expect not only you to come at me with all your lawyers that you could find, but probably yourself, too.
You know, we would have a personal problem. That's true.
Yeah. So this is
whatever the law says.
It's an extraordinary claim, and it's the worst possible thing you want out there
publicly.
An election year.
Yeah, so Dawn Adams is going to wind up having some additional explanation offered to the voters, I'm sure. Norman Leahy, the Virginia columnist for the Washington Post, always appreciate it when you are with us. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.